This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Third hour, hour number 3 here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's going on? Hopefully everybody's well. Moving forward, and we're coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their teams 24-7 at rocketmortgage.com. That's rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Big hour coming up. Got Lloyd Pierce, head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, will join us on this Wednesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. And SiriusXM Channel 206 and radio.com, all the various Tiki and Tierney platforms, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, and mixed in a lot of different topics. We'll see, we'll get back to the Fangio stuff in a moment and the Drew Brees stuff too, but we had some of the NBA with the expectation 22 teams going down to Disney and the way that's set up structurally, 8 regular season games. If you're within 6 games of the final playoff spot, 5 teams in the West, 1 team in the East, that would be the Wizards. You'll be invited to rejoin the season. The other 8 teams, like the Wizards and the Pistons and the Bulls and the Knicks and a few others, peace out. We'll see you soon. Major League Baseball has responded to the players' proposal or counter-proposal. That's not going in a very good positive direction. So there's all sorts of stuff here. But at least we know the direction is eventually the return to sports. We're getting there. We are getting there, people.
Slowly but surely. There. It looks like the
we
NBA.
We got golf coming up this weekend. Is it this weekend?
No, I think it's next weekend.
Next weekend.
The Memorial. It's a Memorial? Is that what it's called? I think that's the one it is.
There's back-to-back. This is one of the questions we couldn't get to inbounds, out-of-bounds. It's back-to-back at Memorial because the John Deere Classic, which is in Wisconsin, which has been a good event, you know, a good event for a lot of times and a nice bolstering of the economy out there in a great state. Good event too. I always remember their weird finishing hole. There's like a little lake right nestled up to the green. And I think I've watched a lot of golf at the John Deere Classic over the years, and they just couldn't with the social distancing restrictions. Yeah. They couldn't do it. So long story short, Mirfield picked up back to back events, and you're right. So not this weekend coming up, but the weekend, what would that be? The 12th, whatever it is. We get actual golf on CBS, golf.
To go with NASCAR, which has been functioning for the 3 weeks, we're going to see. I don't think basketball is going to be back for another probably 4 weeks, right? They're going to go to camp in 3 weeks, right? Is that the timing? And then they'll play and probably a week or so after that. I believe that's what the timing is of it. But it seems like it's coming sooner rather than later. I have to go find the timing of the NBA. I can't remember exactly the timing of it. But it is coming, and that's the point. And they have a plan to finish the season, which is most important. Really, the only one that you're worried about is baseball. Baseball is the only one that doesn't seem to be able to have their act together. And obviously the NFL is still biding their time, saying all things are status quo because they don't have to actually deal with it yet.
That's true. That encompasses everything that's going on in the world of sports. So let's get back to how we, in terms of eventual returns here. Vic Fangio, want to play something for you. It's how Teek and I started the show. We'll get back to the Drew Brees stuff as well. Lloyd Pierce, the Hawks coach this hour. We'll get the blast after Coach Pierce. But Coach Fangio was asked about racism in the NFL, and he has since issued a follow-up clarification. Some people will accept it, others won't, and that's discussable as well. But here's what he initially said that drew the ire of many. Go ahead, guys.
I think our problems in the NFL along those lines are minimal. We're a league of meritocracy. You earn what you get. You get what you earn. I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL. You know, we live in a great atmosphere. Like I alluded to earlier, we're lucky. We all live together, joined as one for one common goal, and we all intermingle and mix tremendously. You know, if society reflected an NFL team, we'd all be great.
We think, Teak.
I think the most important thing that he did was apologize for this, BT. Because, look, in some ways he's right, talking about inside the confines of a locker room and inside the lines of a football field. He is absolutely right that there's not racism and not prejudice that exists outwardly there, but very close around it. And that could be front offices. That could be even the stands, because we see that in sports very often. I mean, how many instances, and we talked that we paralleled the NBA with the NFL earlier in the show, BT, mm-hmm. How many instances have we seen where there's like some sort of racial connotation to confrontations that happen between players and people in the stands? It's been a lot.
We have seen that.
But that's outside the court. Now, uh-huh. But on the court, it's likely not the case. But Vic Fangio apologized, and that's the most important thing he did. He said, "I should have been more clear, and I am sorry." And he goes on to say, "I want to make this point yesterday that there is no color within the locker rooms," which is what we were intimating. "I have been in or on the playing fields I have coached on. Unfortunately, we don't live or work only within those confines." And that's mm-hmm. exactly right. I mean, and we're starting to see the players who care a lot about what happens inside the confines of the locker room and inside the lines on a playing field. But they're also heavily involved, more than ever, mm-hmm. increasingly involved outside of those arenas. Actually, probably in some cases, more so, mm-hmm. right? Because they're so activist. Jaylen Brown drove 15 hours. We've seen a lot of NFL players who were part of these peaceful demonstrations that have been going on around the country. So it means something. And, you know, 2 decades ago, not so sure that the athlete was doing all of that, at least not as publicly.
Yeah, and even before that, so you talk about 2 decades ago, you know, 3 decades ago, and obviously beyond that, going in the older direction,
yeah.
You know, it really is amazing how things have changed. And
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying we're there yet, obviously. If we were there, we wouldn't be in the middle of what we're in the middle of, clearly, as a country. But, you know, the fact that, you know, back in the day, if I could use that expression, there were, you know, a dearth, there were a handful of NFL, or just, not even NFL, just athletes of color, all right, that were willing to take strong stands, because let's mm-hmm. face it, back then, their repercussions could crush a career.
Yeah,
I mean, we just
or cost you like your life in some regards.
Well, that's
if you
true.
Go,
that's
if
true
you go
too.
Far enough back,
that's
right?
True.
You got
sure.
some of the high profile ones, because and people will hear what I just said and what we're talking about, BT, and we'll mm-hmm. say, yeah, but Muhammad Ali did this, and the Olympians did this, and
handful.
XYZ. But in a big scheme of thing, it wasn't all of them.
Handful.
No, exactly,
I mean
right.
It was probably the less than 5%.
Yeah.
You know, Lew Alcindor was at that, and it's amazing too, because so while there were much fewer blacks doing that then, there were almost no whites standing
yeah.
next to them saying,
in
yeah,
solidarity.
We
yeah.
got a problem here.
Yeah.
So now you fast forward to 2020. Everybody, not everybody, most people are comfortable, you know, exercising their form of influence to mm-hmm. convey what's in their heart and what needs to be changed from a minority point of view. But then right next to them is the very visible white athlete who's doing
right.
it. So it's a powerful time. And
or
you
coach.
Just hope that power and that, I'm sorry, that cohesion, you know, changes things up, leads to
yeah.
some change.
I mean, look, I hope it does. One of the things that I'm encouraged that I'm seeing is a lot of the money that's starting to get donated and the conversation is not necessarily to support organizations. It's to let's try to change the laws and the rules as it pertains to police and how, why they're protected. Because again, 99% are fantastic. They do what they're citizens of our communities. They are, you know, stewards of security. Right. But then there's that bad apple, and there's a lot, and there's a few of them that have shown to the, you know, risen to the top that you just can't ignore, who sour the entire bunch. Right. And so I think there's more of a conversation around finding ways to get rid of those bad apples as opposed to condemning all of the good ones.
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, to illuminate the good and eventually eradicate the bad. That is, I can't say it any more succinctly or directly than that. Illuminate the good, eradicate the bad. Who the hell wouldn't sign up for that?
Yep.
All right, Lloyd Pierce, interesting guy. Remember, we had him on right before he got hired, his first year with the Hawks, and he is a voice of the community. He's got a good young team as well. Mm-hmm. To be fair, didn't really achieve what I thought they would achieve this year, so we do have some basketball questions for Coach Pierce. But we'll strike that balance of what's happening in Atlanta and obviously what's happening with the Hawks as a team. Teague and Tierney, that's next with Coach Pierce, CBS Sports Radio.
When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. And if your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, what happens if you need auto parts fast? O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We're back as we looking forward to this conversation. We'll get to Coach Pierce in a moment, the head coach of the Hawks. You know, the way this new system looks like, we're going to return here to the NBA. And you can make the case, and I believe Coach is already on the record, about, you know, being disappointed if his team isn't given a chance to finish up games for their growth. They're the youngest team in the NBA, etc. You can make the real case here, Teak, that you look at the eight teams on the outside looking in, right? I got no interest watching the Hornets. I've got no interest watching the Bulls. I've got no interest watching the Knicks, aside from selfishly. You know, so I've got no interest in watching the Pistons or the Cavaliers. You know what? Or the Warriors right now. Or the T-Wolves. I've got interest in seeing what, you know, of all the teams that won't be going, I would kind of like to see the Hawks.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the Warriors, if Clay was coming back, but he's not. So
yeah.
I agree with you. The Hawks are one that are very interesting, especially for their future, and especially because they got one of my guys, one of my Cavaliers.
No, one of your boys.
DeAndre Hunter.
DeAndre, first-round pick. So they are young. They've taken some lumps this year, not to be fully unexpected, but certainly a team that you would think that would be on the rise as we get a little deeper into the careers of some of their players. And we're joined by their head coach, Lloyd Pierce, second year with the Atlanta Hawks. And remember, we had Coach right when he was hired, Tiki. Then he started to big-time us. He said, I'm making this NBA money. I don't need to talk to these dopes. What's happening? Coach, how you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm good. I think you guys saw our record and said, we'll get them on later.
We'll get them on a kickback. They start winning some games. So it wasn't you who abandoned us. It was us who abandoned you.
Yeah, there we go. We need a lot of truth-tellers these days. We got a lot going on. We need everybody to start speaking the truth.
Coach, you might be right about that, buddy. about both parts. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're good. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead, Teague.
You know, tell us a little bit about the National Basketball Coaches Association, this leadership role that you've taken on. Obviously, in light of the world, of the country that we're living in right now, it seems of paramount importance. Tell us what you guys are doing and what specifically you will be doing, because these conversations need to be had and change needs to occur.
Well, we're trying to keep the conversation going. And, you know, honestly, we're trying to do it understanding where we can play a larger role. And that's because we have some tremendous access. We have a huge platform, and then we can reach out to a tremendous amount of people, a large amount of people with our owners, with our players, with our league. But it has to start somewhere. And that was kind of how this committee was formed. It was started by our Head Coaches Association. It was a meeting that we put together last Saturday, and we had perfect attendance in terms of everyone reaching out, everyone being active, everyone communicating that they wanted to be involved. And so we knew we needed to break off the group and get a smaller group so the ideas could flow a little easier. And our goal is to keep this conversation going and find as many ways and with as many partnerships that we can have to impact change.
Now, Coach, you know, I think about the players. You know, there's two ways that you go. The one is downstream, so to speak, to your players who are predominantly African-American or of color or international, to be perfectly honest with you. And so I know that they buy into what you're speaking. Going upstream, though, which is to the owners and the front offices, what's that conversation like? Because obviously change can happen from the voices of the influencers, you and your players. But really, it's the billionaires. It's the guys sitting in the front office that have the resources to create right. true equity around this country, especially those that are into sports. What are those conversations like?
Yeah, I mean, those aren't happening just yet. I think individually they're happening. You know, I've spoken to our owner, Tony Ressler. He's been tremendous in his support of my concern. He's been tremendous of his support for our organization. But those conversations are having individually,
yeah,
and that's great. What we want is to have it collectively. We want to be unified as a coaches association. We want to illustrate to our players that we are unified, we are committed, so that they are on board. And I think the connection of us being on board is a stronger conversation to have with our owners, and a stronger conversation to have with our league, and a stronger presentation to the rest of our communities. When they can see that this is a very well thought out plan. We've put in a lot of work. We've partnered with the right people, and we're ready to do our part.
You know, Lloyd, I'm curious. I'm talking to Lloyd Pierce, the head coach of the Hawks, year number two, youngest team in the NBA. Got some good talent, as we know, and it doesn't happen overnight. Look at what, you know, it took the Warriors forever. I mean, if anybody think about this, T, just as a quick aside, Lloyd, I know you know this, but there was a point where there was a debate, and I lived in San Francisco when this debate was raging. Should the Warriors keep Monte Ellis or Steph Curry? So, you know, you talk about these young teams that eventually find their footing. There's no rhyme or reason. Doesn't happen overnight. And I think everybody around the game that knows the game thinks the Hawks, within a year or two, will be more prominent players for sure. What I'm curious about, so you put this together. Everybody's been receptive to it. But the one team in the NBA, it's been a big story last. Well, there's actually two, the Spurs, but everybody knows Popovich is very outspoken about all these issues. The Knicks didn't put anything out. Now, I know that that's different. You know, that James Dolan owns the team. He's not the coach. And right now the Knicks have an interim coach who probably won't be there next year, and Mike Miller. But just in totality, how disappointed are you to see one of your brethren, an organization, not put out some sort of press release or statement about what happened?
A couple things. I'll go to the first point. I was on that staff, prior to that conversation with Monte and Steph. And it was, it, like you said, it's a great argument. Monte was averaging 26 points per game that year as well. So
he could fill it up.
Things were a little bit different in terms of everyone's, you know, where they were in their careers. But nothing happens overnight. And I'll segue to that statement of nothing happens overnight to what you brought about with the Knicks. We're having this conversation, we're forming this committee because of what we didn't see in terms of a statement or a response. But you know, I'm not going to criticize someone for not making a statement. I'm not going to criticize for someone for not being as active as us as the Coaches Associate are trying to be right now. I think the point that people aren't comfortable enough to make a statement or be extremely active is the point. You know, there's a lot where we just haven't acknowledged that this is really a problem, and some people don't know exactly what to say, and so they choose not to say anything for the fear of saying the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job to really bring the conversation to the forefront so that we can get over that first part. There is a real problem with racial profiling and discrimination of African-American men in our country, specifically by bad law enforcement officers and specific to African-American communities. That's a real problem, and there's an origin of that problem that's greater than just African-American men and law enforcement. That origin is in our country. And we have to acknowledge that that's a problem that we're ready to tackle and admit to.
Yep.
So we can have these conversations openly. So there isn't a fear of what you say or how you say it. And for us, you know, we issued a statement, and the last thing we want to do is leave our stance at that statement. You know, the statement was great. That was the easy part.
Yep.
You know, the committee was great. That was the easy part. You know, bringing people together is great. That's the easy part. Now, where's the change? You know, what about that kid, George Floyd's son, you know, 6-year-old son who's now without his father? How do we provide hope for him so he doesn't live the rest of his life in fear? That's who we're really trying to target. And there's so many stories like that and so many individuals like that. But there's also, you know, to me, which was bothersome, there's also the white woman in the park in New York who was aware of her privilege in New York, who was aware of her privilege, her white privilege. And we had the situation with the birder in New York on Sunday. You know, that's a real fear of acknowledging that you have privilege and then using that privilege to weaponize the law enforcement against an African-American. You know, and so I think it's a white issue of being able to educate those that don't realize what their privilege has consequences to it and understanding why we live in fear. And so there's so many levels of education that we have to get to. That's why we're trying to keep this conversation going.
Lloyd, let me ask you this. That's Lloyd Pierce, the Hawks head coach. Good stuff. The anger, which is palpable and justified, once you get past that, all right, there's uncomfortable conversations, and you're probably better off not having them on social media. Mm-hmm. You, quite frankly, you're probably better off not even having them fully in depth on radio shows because it could, with callers, because it could go all over the map. Right. I believe in solid conversations, which Teak and I always try to do, but sometimes it becomes a slippery slope. But we talk, I've heard a lot about, and I get it, about how the African American wants the white voice to be more prominent, more in step, more aware, more in sync with the thoughts of change. But how willing are the African American who want these changes to sit down, to really sit down and try to educate some of the white people that they don't think, maybe they don't, if they don't think that they know enough? And I don't mean anger. I mean sit down and truly converse and educate. Is that where we're at?
Well, that's where we need to be. I think, you know, it is an interaction. You know, there's many examples of how we get to that point. You know, I've had, and I think any African-American could probably tell you in the last week, I've had all my white friends call me and apologize. And it's like,
it's true. It's true. I had the same thing, Coach.
No, it's unreal. It's unreal. Because there's this need to acknowledge, you know, your stance, which is great. But it, just like law enforcement, I'm not saying every law enforcement officer is bad. It's not even close.
It's the opposite. It's not even close.
I'm saying there's a problem with the system for those that are bad.
Yes.
And we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge how we got to this point.
Yep.
So that, you know, we don't overlook it. And, you know, it is. You're absolutely right. We want to be able to create. One of the things we've talked about is creating this town hall where myself in the city of Atlanta can sit with our mayor and our police chief and sit with a member of the African-American community who's been through the traumatic or victimized experience and someone in their family. And those all of us, you know, whoever else, you know, the DA, the prosecutors, whoever else. So we can answer these questions, we can ask these questions, and we can have these tough conversations for everyone to see so that there is better dialogue. You know, I'm in Atlanta, and we know South Atlanta. You know, there's a lot of people that have never been to South Atlanta. I live up near Buckhead, and everybody mm-hmm. knows Buckhead.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you know Buckhead and you've never been to South Atlanta, and then all of a sudden you join the police force and they task you with being in South Atlanta in one of the rougher areas,
yep.
you know, you don't know the community. You don't know how to interact with the community. So, of course, you're walking in there with fear. If you grew up there, you know Tommy from up the street and James that lived down the street. And so when something's going on, you say, James, what's going on? You know,
yep.
there's a different interaction right from the start. But when we hire and then we place and we don't have any kind of connection, no interaction, no understanding of who we're dealing with, we're both going to live in fear. And we both won't acknowledge it. We do what survival is necessary for survival, which is I'm a law enforcement officer. I know what I have. I'm a scared young black man. I'm just going to react to whatever needs I have or whatever moment I have to save my life. And that's what happened. It's the disconnect.
Yeah,
so we need to create these conversations through town halls and putting people of different and diverse backgrounds together so we can openly communicate that. But we have to acknowledge that it's a problem.
I agree with you, Coach, and it's interesting because I often think that it's fear, and it's not the fear on the perpetrator in the equation. Usually, an African American, it's fear on the cop's side, the police officer's side, who doesn't understand the situation that he's in or the mannerisms of whoever he's dealing with, and therefore he gets scared. When you're scared and have a gun, bad things happen. You know, let me jump to some of your players real quick. Trae Young is obviously such a talented young player, and we can get to what he's doing on the court, but I mean, he's at a young age standing up and getting in front of some of these protests and being outspoken. The role that your players are taking, especially in Atlanta, which is a southern city that has a large presence of minorities and those of not just African-Americans, but all ethnicities because of some of the refugees that going in around there in Clarkson, et cetera. You know, what role do you think your players should be playing down there?
You know, what they should be, I can't really say. You know, I think, you know, I spoke about our need to play because I play young guys. I have a young roster, and we need game experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just the end-all, be-all. They're not going to grow without playing. This role that we speak of is about growth and maturity in all facets, on court and off the court. And so see Trae in Norman, Oklahoma at a rally, get up and speak. You know, Trey's not an extremely vocal guy. He's comfortable in his own skin, but, mm-hmm. but outwardly in that setting, that's new, but that's part of growth. And he's at an age where he's going to continue to grow on and off the court. He's going to get comfortable in his own skin. He's going to get comfortable with his voice. He does media all the time. He's going to be comfortable with his teammates, and he's going to be comfortable being the face of this organization. So I just encourage him to be open, to be open to things that are uncomfortable. That's how you grow. That's how you become comfortable. And that's how you learn how to care about others. And that's what a leader does.
Yeah.
So I applaud him being able to do that because that's getting out of his own comfort zone and not being afraid to do so.
Yeah, no, you got to be uncomfortable for growth, right? That's the cliche. You know, you mentioned just briefly there that you guys are not playing, and we all know that the 22 teams that are agreed upon, the Atlanta Hawks are not one of them. How are you planning on mitigating that lack of experience, if at all? I mean, there's really not much you can do because of the pandemic that we find ourselves in right now. But what can you do to mitigate that lack of actual game experience that they're going to miss out on with the end of the regular season?
Yeah, one of the reasons I was hired, I feel, was just that player development background. And we've committed our last two summers since I've been here in Atlanta to really laying out a foolproof plan of 3 weeks on of being here in Atlanta as a group and getting our proper our weight program going, our conditioning going, you know, trying to get stronger as our young guys are growing, but also just breaking down the game. When you have a long off season, you have a lot of time to really work on your game slowly. And so nothing's different there. It's just more time. We've been away from the gym for 3 months of really being able to do nothing. And so we're just going to have an extended off season. But the one concern I have, which is the greatest, is our ability to play 5-on-5. And so we're going to find creative ways. There's always pros in the city of Atlanta. You know, Charlotte is right up the street, a couple hours away. We're going to find ways to get some competition. And, you know, the biggest issue with that is just the coronavirus and, you know, who you can have in your gym. And so we're being patient. We're being diligent. But we are planning. We're setting up a plan to execute for our guys to grow, develop, continue to work. But we need to find a way to get some competition. That's the part that I miss the most, and that's the part where we're going to be left out in terms of going to Orlando.
I got to ask you this, Coach. We watch the Hawks highlights, right? And invariably, every night, right, Teak, we see Trae pulling up from, you know, the logo stretches around midcourt. You know, his foot sometimes is on a part of the logo at midcourt. And his range is undeniable. And his efficiency is a lot better than I thought it would be thus far in his career. I mean, 30 points a game. Yeah, anybody, I don't want to say anybody could score, but I mean, he's efficient more so, I think, than people think and than I thought. But as a coach, there's a player development aspect. You just hit that. There's an accountability aspect. What is your philosophy pertaining solely to him? What is a bad shot? Is there any bad shot for Trae Young?
It's the one that doesn't go in.
That's it? That's it?
No, I mean, and Tiki, you know, it, you know, the more touches you get, the better you feel. You get in that rhythm, you get going. You got to have the ball in your hands to kind of get your feet going, your rhythm going, your flow going, to fill out a game plan. And you know, Trae is a guy, and all of our guys, and I've explained this to all of our guys. When we practice, that's where we work on execution, and that's where we come up with a game plan, and that's where we commit ourselves to being together. When you go on that court, play with confidence, play free. You know, those shots he takes, we call them swag shots. if you're feeling it and the defense is backing up, shoot it with swags, shoot it with confidence. Now, there's a level of how many you can shoot without making, you know, yep. you've got to be committed to the team. But, you know, we'll have a lot of guys come down on a break and the defense backs up all the way to the paint. You know, why drive at him? If he wants to give you that 3-point shot, don't look over at me. You got to shoot it with, don't hesitate and shoot mm-hmm. it with confidence. And we'll live with the results. We'll live with the consequence.
Lloyd, yeah. Last thing for me. It's Lloyd Pierce, the Hawks coach. Very generous with your time. Important stuff. Thank you, man. The way the league works, you know, you get a couple of years and if the wins don't start coming, every franchise is a little different. Some have more restraint than others. But you think you get a real chance to see this thing through in Atlanta with the Hawks?
I just do my job. I didn't get into this business to you know, think about what do I need to do to get to the sixth year. You guys gave me an opportunity. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm secure in my ability to coach and lead, and that's all I'm focused on. I've never worried about that. I'm not going to start now. I have a great young core of guys. I think they're together. I think they're committed to getting better. They know they're a long way from where they really and ultimately want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge that I love. So I'll be fine. I trust this organization. I trust our owner and our GM. They've been fully supportive of me since day one. And I think they'll be continually supportive of me moving forward. And if I don't, and if we don't get it done, I don't deserve to be here. That's the nature of sports.
I hear you.
Agree with you.
Good stuff, Coach.
Yeah, you're young except for Vince.
Yeah, now would he come back just for a couple of minutes next year?
No way he can't.
He might.
I think Vince is ready for that golf course.
Is he? How's his game? Could he play?
He loved it. I know that much. I'm not a golfer, and I haven't been out there with him, but I know he's ready for it.
Yeah. I got you.
Hey, good luck, Coach.
He's earned it.
Yeah, thanks, good luck, Coach. And good luck with the NBCA stuff. And I know you guys are going to try your best to make a change and keep having those conversations, obviously with your players and the community, but certainly with law enforcement as well. Coach, I appreciate you hopping on with us again.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. You guys be safe, and you guys keep the conversation going.
Most certainly.
If we don't converse, we're not on the air. we are, and trust me, Lloyd, we are. No doubt, buddy. Thank you, Coach.
All right, thank you.
You got it, man. I remember when we got a break here, Frack. I remember we first had him because, listen, he was with Philly for, I don't know, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years, player development, you know, unless you're an NBA lifer, an obscure figure. Nobody really knew. He didn't play at a big-time school. I think he played at Santa Clara. So it's not like you played the Big East or the ACC. Nobody really knew Lloyd Pierce, with all due respect. But I remember when we had him on, you and I both said, off the air and on the air, this guy's sharp, man.
Yeah, he's impressive.
Remember that?
Yeah, he's very impressive.
Yeah, we both
and
said
he was
that.
As he was just now. There's no secret why he's the leader of that breakout committee that he was talking about with the National Basketball Coaches Association, because he can dish it, man.
That's right. Okay, let's get the update from Ack. The blast after that, Rich Ackerman's turn. Here's Ackman. Start to wind down, California. Yay. We'll get to the blast in a moment. First up, though, let us answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Larry, Louisville, Kentucky. Guys, why is the NBA waiting almost 2 months to start their season? I would imagine he means by restarting the season based on the plan to bring the players there in July. I would think medical logistics would be the best way for me to summarize it.
Yeah.
Maybe you got something else, Teak. I don't think it's much deeper than that.
I think they're terrified of guys getting hurt because they've been on the layoff for so long, so they want to make sure that they get back up to playing shape, which I don't know if it's going to work. Eight games is a little bit. It's not a lot, you know, before you start playing really intense basketball.
Yeah, we'll see. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. You ready to blast away, see what we got today?
I am. Let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right. The NFL is being forced to produce key documents, it's phrased, in ongoing concussion legal cases. Do you feel the NFL is still hiding information on long-term impacts of concussions, Tiki?
I don't think there's enough information yet. There's so much data that needs to be collected on from athletes downstream. And I'll tell you this from personal experience, BT. I get one of these questionnaires frequently, probably at three or four times a year. And I've had a few concussions, but it never affected me. At least I don't think it did. And so I don't have an issue right now. I don't think I'm going to have one in the future. And so I just ignore this questionnaire. So I think it might be an issue of just not being able to collect data and then represent it to someone rather than them trying to hide something.
Interesting. I think we're past the hiding phase. I do.
Me too.
You know, I think there's a difference between hiding and fully volunteering. maybe they're playing the semantics games here. But listen, I think that there was a period where things were swept under the rug? No question. Of course, everybody thinks that. Most everybody. But right now, with the spotlight that has shone so brightly on this, I think it would be incredibly risky for business, negligent. I can't imagine they're that dumb. I don't think that they are. So I'm going to say no. I do not believe that they're hiding information based on the impacts of concussions at this point. All right. According to reports, this can't be true. Raheem Mostert, the running back. The Niners are thinking about signing him to a long-term deal before George Kittle? There's no way. I mean, who's more vital to the Niners? Is this a real question, Sam? I know it's a relatively lean day. Is this the same player who's bounced around? He's been on, like, how many teams? And Lord knows he finally caught on with the 49ers and had one decent year. Are we talking about the same guy versus maybe the best tight end in football? What? How do I even answer this?
Yeah, it's really hard to be.
Who's more vital?
We know who's more vital, but their running back game has been pretty good.
Their running back scheme is vital.
But it's also it's not just one guy. It's kind of by committee in a really significant way. It's by committee for that team. But I think this is more about who they can sign right now. I'm not sure that they are going to be able to clearly define George Kittle's worth right now, because he wants to be paid like a wide receiver.
Yep.
We do know that they are a run first offense.
Well,
but they have interchangeable parts at running back. I mean, Mostert's there, Jarrett McKinnon's there, Tevin Coleman's there. They have a lot of players.
Falcon, sure.
Got a lot of players that they have at that position.
Bring back Frank Gore. Maybe you can get him back for the Jets.
He's not more important because they have interchangeable parts there, but I think he's more signable.
Well, yeah, because he's going to get about $1 million, and then Kittle's going to get about 13 or 14.
No, he'll probably make make six or so a year.
You think so?
Yeah, he's making 2.5 now.
Is that what he's making?
Yeah, Mostert.
All right, South Carolina basketball coach Frank Martin, good coach, revealed yesterday he has COVID-19. He had it last month, and he's fully recovered, which is great. Does it help morale to hear recovery stories from the sports world?
Yeah, I think it does. But I think we kind of assume that this is the case. I'm trying to think of a current player or coach who has gotten sick that we've really worried about. The only one was, why am I forgetting his name? The Jacksonville Jaguars. We had him on.
Coach? Not Doug Marone.
No. Lineman, offensive lineman. He's retired.
Oh, Tony Boselli.
Tony Boselli.
Yeah.
He's really the only one that I can think of that's like our age or younger that's had a really significant issue. So I do think it is good for, you know, people who are worried about this. Like if they get it, then they think they're dying. But there's a lot of athletes and people of prominence who have gotten it and been okay.
Kevin Durant's fine, thank God. Patrick Ewing, thank God. He's Coach Ewing's doing well. Yeah, I just think it's a sign of physical resilience that speaks to the you know, the human spirit, you know, in terms of what you can control, but also what you can't control. That it's certainly not a death sentence, as we, unfortunately for some it has been, but we know there's underlying circumstances. I think it's great. Morale is an important thing all the time, especially now. The more people you see recovering, the better. How could anybody position that as anything other than very good? All right, so Brett Boone was on the show last night with Zach Gelb here on CBS Sports Radio, and he didn't seem too I think I heard this already, and if it's the same cut, it's a pretty good one. Didn't seem too concerned about whether or not players and owners will agree on a deal.
The first offer that came in obviously is not a good offer for the players, but it never is. I think you're looking for the best offer to be, you know, probably 5 or 6 days from now when they're really on a time crunch to get this spring training set on time so the year can start on time, which means they can finish on time to get to the postseason where they get their most revenue.
Okay. Do deadlines bring about deals? What do you think? Do deadlines bring deals?
I, in general, yes, they do. But only if there's going to be some sort of arbiter at the end of the deadline. Huh. And right now, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case. I mean, when we think about the disconnect and the distance between these two proposals and the potential, I guess, nuclear proposal, which is 50 games, right? Who ultimately gets to make that decision? It seems like Rob Manfred, as we talked about earlier, has the ability to just say, you're playing 50 games, that is what it is. But it could do irreparable damage to the relationship between the players and the owners, who then have to turn around in 2021 and renegotiate a CBA. So I can't see Rob Manfred going that route, because it might linger a lot longer than this season. Does it bring a deal? Yes, but no, because there's no one on the other end other than Rob Manfred who doesn't have a great option.
I mean, it really depends how motivated one of the parties really is to make it work. I mean, if you've got, not indifference because there's too much at stake, there's certainly not indifference pertaining to baseball, but just, you know, general concept of a business deal, you know, hopefully both parties are motivated to make it happen. But even if one is maybe a little more motivated than the other, there's always the avenue of enticement by giving the person who might be a little less motivated reason to stay or reason to hammer out the deal. So I believe deadlines are not always foolproof, and they don't always work, but I believe it's something tangible to shoot for. Everybody's aware of it. And in the court of public opinion, like something with baseball, I believe that it will actually be favorable because we know what it is, and it will be talked about, and it will apply pressure.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, it sounds like the owners are saying, we have $170 million. That's what we agreed upon in March 30th that you guys are getting and guaranteed. And if we play 50 games, that's what you're going to get. If we play 80 games, that's what you're going to get.
That's right.
That's just not, I don't know.
It's like
players,
my parents
don't love that.
It's what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Why? Because that's what I said.
Exactly.
I say the same thing.
All right, that's all
Why?
We have.
Daddy said so. All right, everybody. Have a great Wednesday night. We'll check you tomorrow. Get our stuff on radio.com, Apple, iTunes. Remain safe, remain sensible, and try to hang in there and try to remain as sane as you can. We'll catch you tomorrow. Peace.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.